thank you for the heart that you have for your church, Lord God. Thank you for the hunger that you have to see them drawn up into your bosom. Thank you for the depth of passion that you have for your church, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. This GUE is a little bit different in that we need to do teaching. The Lord wants an impartation to come. There's an impartation coming to those that have been preparing. Many of you have been going through so much. It's been deep. It's been pressing. And the Lord wants to deposit something in you this week. Something you desperately need to make it through. Something so intimate, so personal, so profound and life-changing. That's what he has for you this week. We're going to have several teachings this week with the heart that you would be able to retain what the Lord deposits within you. I don't know about you guys, but there's been times I've been to conferences and they were really awesome and I was deeply touched. But as time passed, it began to fade. You know, what I got there, it just would start to fade. You know, I mean, it's one of the beauties of coming to a GOE. We come and we pour out every single thing we have, every ounce of energy that we have. And we come away feeling so full. So strengthened. So much closer to the Lord. And between GOEs, we find ourselves hungering for another one. Because we want to feel the intimacy that we feel here. It's a rare thing. But the Lord is wanting to take us into intimacy with Him. An intimacy that we can carry. We can carry with us. It's important. It's crucial for us to make it in the days ahead. That we can retain the intimacy with our Lord. Tonight I want to talk about the church. And this is heavy on my heart. And this, it's, I'm not talking about the church buildings. Do we understand that? I'm not talking about those big, you know, concrete slabs almost on every corner. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the church. We house the presence of God in the earth. That's what we're called to do. We're a light in the midst of darkness. The darker it gets, the lighter we are to become, right? Our light is to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Because the darker it gets, the more the people out there are going to need to find the light of Christ. And if we aren't shining, how are they going to find him? We should be emanating Christ. Christ should be oozing from our pores. Because there is a seed planted within each of us that will draw us to the King. And when we pass somebody that has that light, we should know it. Because there's spirit-to-spirit contact. When we live in countries where we cannot declare the Word of God and we need to bond with our brethren, we need to feel it. Our spirit should ignite. Amen? So our light needs to shine. It needs to shine and burn and consume us. There's been times we've been in these meetings and we've been praying and we walk by somebody that got touched by God and down we go. We don't even have to be prayed for by the people standing up here. Because the fire of God will fall. Amen? Does your spirit get ignited when you come in the presence of your brethren? When you go to those church buildings, does your spirit get ignited? Does it? God's about to change that. I'm going to talk about a few tough subjects. Are you guys ready? Because you're intercessors. You're here to fight for the nation. You're here to fight for the children of God. You're here to fight that the church would rise up and take her place. Amen? Amen. I want you to know that half the people on our team are pastors. I want you to know the depth of love I have for our pastors. I want you to know the heart they have to see the people rise up and take their place. I want you to know the tears that they have wept on these floors, filthy carpet after filthy carpet across this nation, for the sake of the church. I want you to know that I feel their hearts for their people. Their hearts for their people. They want to see them rise up. They want to see them ignited with the fire of God. Amen? Ignited with the fire of God. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things standing in their way. A lot of things standing in their way. Anything I say, I want you to know something tonight. How many of you know I love you? Every hand better raise. Let me tell you, I'm going to come knocking. There you go. She missed her chance. I got her, though. God wants to ignite his people. He wants to ignite them. Wants to ignite them with his holy fire. But we gotta face some truths if that's gonna happen. One of the things the Lord told me, you guys are gonna love this one. We have got to bring down political correctness. Amen. I'm so sick of political correctness. I am so sick of how it's always changing. I am so sick of hearing someone say, oh, no, that's not how you're supposed to say it. They don't like that now. Uh-huh. I don't like the way you say that. I'm not going to be able to come to your church anymore because you didn't say it the way I want to hear it. And I'm here to tell you, if it's in my word, you're going to hear it. Amen? If it is in my word, you're going to hear it. Because if you love your people enough, you will give them the truth found in this word. Amen? I need to get a lighter Bible if I'm going to do that for very long. Let me just tell you. So he's loved the funny. We were in Joel's Army in California, and they gave me one of those things right there. Now listen, I am getting up there in age. You're like, oh, no, Ricky, you aren't. Well, they gave me one of those music stands, and I got this Bible, this large print Bible, so I can see it with my glasses. Even with my glasses. You guys could probably read it from there. And it just kept falling. Some of you were there. You saw it. I thought the weight of the word is bringing this place down. Amen? If it's in my word, you're going to hear it. You know why? Because I am going to fight for your soul. Because I love you enough to fight for your soul. I love you enough to fight for your soul. And every time I give you truth from my word, I am reaching down to pull you up away from the pit of hell. Because the enemy is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to get complacent. He's waiting for you to get lazy. He's waiting for you to get up in the morning and say, I don't think so. I'm going to hit snooze. I'm going to hit snooze because I'm a little tired. So I'm just gonna go back to sleep, Lord. And the enemy's there. Didn't that feel sweet to sleep in? Didn't that feel sweet to sleep in? Tomorrow you're going to hit that snooze button twice. And the next day, and the next day, until you have forgotten what it means to get up and spend time with your Lord. He is calling forth a people who will fight to spend time with Him. He is calling forth a people who will fight to get in His Word. Because it transforms them. It refines them. It takes them from deep within. And it rips out everything that is of the world. And it puts within that place him, and more of Him. He is the reason I live. How about you? Do you get up in the morning so you can have breakfast? No. Do you get up in the morning so you can go to work? No. Well, he's a pastor. Of course he gets up to go to work. You get up. You live. You breathe. So you can serve the King. That's right. And if you're going to serve the King, you got to know your word. You got to have His Spirit within you. You got to spend time in prayer. Because if you're not on your face before you start your day, I can promise you, the enemy will be outside your door waiting to grab hold of you. Right? He lurks in the darkness. Waiting. Nobody's sleeping tonight. Don't even think about it. I said, please move this podium down here because I move a little bit too much. I'll fall right off the stage. I can't do that. That would just be awkward. Let me tell you, the enemy waits and he lurks in the secret dark places. So you better get up in the morning and face the darkness head on and you get alone with your God. I used to get up at 7 to spend time with the Lord. Right? I'm here, Lord. I got my coffee. Let me get my little 5-minute devotional. I got my little devotional here. I got my coffee. Everybody knows I love coffee, right? You've been here once, you know I love coffee. And the Lord said, you really think you're going to make it like that? Really? 7? Please. Then I said, okay, well, I'll get up at 6:30. Because, you know, that gives me an extra half hour with you. And he pushed it back. 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 And sometimes I'm up at 2:30 in the morning. And you know what happens? My spirit said, it's time to pray. Get up. I said, all right, Lord, you're going to have to take me through the rest of this day. You want me up at 2:30? I'm here. But y'all are going to have to get me through the rest of this day. I can't keep Folgers in business for much longer. We got to know his word. We got to hunger for time with him. Because when darkness comes, I am telling you the truth. You're going to need your spirit man to be on fire. Fire! You're going to need your spirit to be so ignited, so deeply ignited, that you don't need an alarm. You jump up out of that bed and say, what do I got to war for today, Lord? Because I'm on it. My spirit is ready to fight this battle. I'm fighting for my kids. I'm fighting for my grandkids. And I'm here to fight for my nation. How do I proceed? Amen? We are intercessors. Right? I've been teaching about the refining this year. Anybody caught one of those messages? They're on the website, worldforjesus.org. Check it out. Because we're in the refining, preparing for a new breed of believers. New breed of believers are about to arise. And you know what we are? We wear the armor of God all day long. We take out the enemy at every turn. They come after our kids, and we tear them up. They come after our churches, and we cut them down. They say, you know, we're not going to want you to speak that. Listen, we're going to need you to keep it to one scripture this Sunday. Because you were giving people too much word last week. And we didn't really like that. The offering was a little bit low. We got to pay the electricity now. So we're going to need to cut back on the scripture. And you're going to say, I don't care, because God will supply our needs if I walk in truth. And I deliver my word because I'm a pastor of this church. I speak truth. I speak his word. Because his word is what's going to strengthen my people in the last days. His word is what's going to enable them to survive in the darkness. His word is what's going to give them life when they feel like they can't make it another second. Amen? And if I don't teach them how to study their word, if I don't teach them how to press into their word, if I don't lead them by example, I will have to answer to my God, not my board. Amen? Amen. The days are coming. If the board won't let you do what God has called you to do, you get out on that street corner and do it. You hear me? I'm telling you. Because God will bring your sheep to you. He will bring your sheep to you. We are in the refiner's fire. It's been getting hot. Anybody been getting hot this year? Only five of us? Okay, let's go over there and we'll just go ahead and finish this. Anybody been in the fire this year? Yeah. Yaha. It's been a little rough out here. Let me tell you. That God is raising up an army capable of enduring the fire. Anybody here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They knew what it was like in the fire. And in the intensity of the heat, so hot that the guards were burned up. They were in there worshiping their Lord. Coming out, not even smelling of the fire. Right? We can handle the fire if we've prepared ourselves, right? Now listen, we're going to talk about a couple things, and then we need to pray for the church to rise up and take her place. Lord said this is a season of the intercessor. And he's going to be calling pastors out of the entertainment business and into the preaching business, where they're going to take their people into a path of intercession. I want to tell you, the greatest pastors in the world are intercessors. Because they speak the heart of God to their people. Because they go to the throne room every day and they pray for their congregation. I got to tell you, this man right here and his wife, these are intercessors. These are pastors. These are intercessors, and they have a heart for the people. They have the heart for the poor. This is where we have Cedarwood, right here at their church. And they're there. You know that? They're there at the pantry. They're there helping us set up. They're there helping serve the poor. Because they know what it means to relay the heart of God to people. These two right here, these are pastors. They work with World for Jesus, but they're pastors. They're intercessors. They're intercessors. They press into God for their congregation. They do services on Fridays. We got pastors over here. They have a church in Sacramento. They're intercessors. Intercessors. And they hear the heart of God for their people. And if their people go astray, what do? They pray for them. This is a pastor in Nigeria. If you don't think that man's praise, you should see his knees. We got an apostle, he just goes around and plants churches. But he teaches people how to pray. Let me tell you. If you're in a church, now listen, I don't want calls from pastors on Monday. Wait, it is Monday. Okay, next Monday. I don't want calls from pastors next Monday. You make sure your pastor is an intercessor. Because this is a season of the intercessor. And if you are hearing the heart of God, you are relaying the heart of God to your people. And they will grow. You make sure your pastor is an intercessor. Intercessors hear the heart of God. Their heart beats with the heartbeat of the Father. They weep for the church. They weep for the children. They weep for the nation. They weep. They weep. They weep. That's why you guys guys are here, you're intercessors, and you weep. You weep for the nation. You weep for the president. You weep for the church. You weep for the children. It's the season of the intercessor. And I'm telling you, God is calling every son and daughter in his body to be an intercessor. Because the times we're moving into, if you don't know what the heart of God is, your life will be in danger. Your life. It will mean the difference of not only your life, of those around you. It's about being sensitive to the Spirit. I wasn't always an intercessor. I was a warrior. Yeah! Bring me in when it's time to do the warfare. I'll be there Friday. I'll be out front doing registration all week, but when it comes time to warfare, I am there. And the Lord said, I got something else in mind. I'm going to bring you in, and you're just going to cry all week. And I said, what? And I came in, and I thought I would run away from it, so I stayed out at the registration table. I was under the table crying all week long. My face was so swollen. It was ridiculous. My mom was just so merciful. She'll get it. She didn't say, honey, it's because you're an intercessor. You know, it's about time you caught up. She'll get it. I thought, okay, well, next time I am not even going to go in through the doors at all. I'll just wait till Friday. I'll just be out there. Yeah. Well, let's just say I am just a big crybaby, okay? I'm just an intercessor, and I finally just gave in. I'm Ricky. I'm an intercessor, and so I'm here to pray with you and guide you through prayers, okay? Might as well just give in. But here's the thing. The greatest intimacy comes when you're an intercessor. That's why it's the season of the intercessor. And God is calling all his children to rise up and be intercessors. Intimacy with our Lord. Intimacy. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to die for someone you don't know? Are you? We all say, oh, I'll die for Jesus. He died for me. Yep, I'll do it. I can promise you. When they come a knocking. So we're here to round you up. We got a little guillotine out there. We all seen the movie. Come on. Got a little guillotine out there. Guillotine? Guillotine? It's out there! We're going to need you just, you know, you're going to have to make a decision. I can promise you, your heart is going to be like this. But if you know the Lord, you're going to be running to it, and you're going to be proclaiming the gospel the whole way there. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. I may die on this guillotine, but I'm going to be in heaven. Are you coming with me? Are you? You're going to give the gospel message the whole way there because you know where you're going. You know who you serve. You got intimacy with your God. If you don't have intimacy, when that door, mm-hmm. intimacy gives you the grace. Intimacy gives you the grace to run to it and preach to everybody you can make eye contact with. I'm telling you. He wants a church that's pure, that's refined, that has intimacy with Him, that's hungry for Him, that's passionate for Him. Malachi 3 is the refining. That's right. You guys should have it memorized by now if you've been listening on Thursdays. Refining fire. We are the messengers of God. Amen. Thank you. Amen. We're the messengers of God. What message are you delivering? Is it His? Is it His? Does it draw the people to the King, to the Savior, to the one you long to serve? That's the heart of every pastor. You're a pastor and you're in here and you haven't left while I was talking, chances are it's your heart too. Am I right? But in the church today, we got compromise. We got compromise. And the Lord's heart is broken. I'm telling you, His heart is broken. We got the unity movement that is sweeping through our churches. Anybody hear about that? The unity movement is sweeping through our churches. Yeah, the false unity movement. Thank you very much. 1999, that thing went out there. And there was just, I don't know, what, 100 people on it? 100 pastors signed up on it. Tens of thousands have joined the false unity movement. Tens of thousands have joined it. And we are so stuck in political correctness, nobody's fighting against it. If that's happening in our churches, you know what we should be doing? Pastor! Pastor, can you tell me scripturally what's happening here? Are you really taking our people there? And I'm telling you, if He's not going to listen, I am very sorry to say this, but unless the Lord's commissioned you to stay there and pray, you need to leave and find a church that will not subscribe to that. They're selling out to the Catholic Church. They are selling out to the Catholic Church. Tony Palmer comes up and says, "Hey, I'm here in the spirit of Elijah. Let me get you signed up." Kenneth Copeland joins him. Anybody look in Kenneth Copeland's eyes recently? Scary, isn't it? I mean, I'm talking scary. It's scary what's happening out there. Didn't the Bible say, before the Lord comes, there'd be a great falling away? I'm seeing a falling away. Paul talks about it in Timothy, 1st and 2nd. Talks about it in 2 Thessalonians. There'd be a great falling away. And we need to prepare ourselves. Listen, the Word of God, what does it do? It tells us what's coming. This, in case you didn't know, is your handbook for life. Right? You want to know what's coming? Read your Word. You want to know? Oh, Isaiah talks about it. Zeke talks about it. Paul talks about it. Oh, and let's not forget Revelations. Hello? You want to know what's going to happen? Read your Word. study your word. Know it. And if you do, if you're in the word and you're in prayer, you should have a check in your spirit when something starts coming up that's not right. And we need to set aside political correctness, and we need to say, I don't think so. Because that's not in my word. We need truth. And we're so afraid to speak the truth anymore. We're so afraid to speak the truth anymore. What is wrong with that? We are vessels of light. The Lord resides, right? Right? Don't we have the Lord here? I do believe he upset a few apple carts when he was here. Why? Because he loved them enough to speak the truth, and he knew if he didn't speak the truth to them, that may have been their only opportunity, and he was going to wrest their souls from Satan himself. He loved them enough to do that. He cared about their souls. This isn't about saving feelings now. This isn't about talking about somebody's bad breath. This isn't about talking to somebody who got mascara all running down here because they were crying in church. This is about when we stumble, helping one another up, loving them enough to speak the truth to them in love. Bring correction with the word of God. Speak the truth. Liz, I'm talking to you about the homosexual agenda. Let me tell you, homosexuality is a sin, plain and simple. Plain and simple. I need a few more amens on that one. It's a sin. But they've got us so twisted up. We're afraid of lawsuits. We're afraid of offense. We go into the workplace, and every 6 months, we're getting a new human resources meeting telling us what? How to work with our homosexual co-workers. Oh, wait, we can't call them that. It's the LGBTQ. It's not a lifestyle choice. They were born this way. You can't, oh, wait, there's transgender. You can't call, okay, if it's a guy that wants to be a girl, you can't call it a guy. You can't call him a her. Wait, okay. Now it's got to be they. They. I got a niece. Well, she's my adopted niece. She comes in. She was working at Monterey Bay Aquarium. They worked with her to get a job at the Denver Zoo. By time, 1 year later. Okay, they went through this whole thing about he, she, the. There was no they yet. By the time she got to Denver, she went back through human resources. Got to call them they now. They don't like to be called he or she because, you know, they might identify with the other sex tomorrow. So we're just going to go with they this month. What is up with that? God made man and woman. And if we are allowing a they in our church, we need to go have a talk with them. Let me tell you, you are a man or a woman. And you know why I'm being so rough with you? Because I love you. And if you keep going as a they, you're going to end up with they in hell. Truth. Truth. There's so much compromise in our church, it breaks my heart. Well, you know, if we don't love them, they'll never get to heaven. Well, they don't like them. It's they. Okay, well, if we don't love they, they'll never get to heaven. No! If you don't love him enough, he will go to hell. It's not about never getting to heaven. It's about going to hell. If you don't love her enough, she will go to hell. And you will have to answer for it. Because you had her in your pew and you didn't give her the truth. you wanted the pocketbook filled up. The board told you you had to do, no, we got to accept them all. If you see a rainbow on a church and they say, welcome here, let me tell you, they open their doors to it. Do you know what the homosexual agenda is about? Do you know what the homosexual agenda is about? Why, no, you do. Depopulation. He knows it. It's not just about getting people to hell, because they're going there too. They're just not taking any children with them. Listen, the progressive movement has pushed this so heavy and so hard. They're the ones that are paying for the politicians that we're seeing that's voting for tolerance. Tolerance. Such a nice way of putting it. They have paid for the tolerance. And it's been going on for 50, 60, 70 years. And they're pushing it in our schools all the way down to pre-K. They got books in those kindergarten and pre-K classes. Talk about my two daddies, my two mommies. Teachers cannot address any of it. They've got books on the shelves of your 9-year-olds that tell them it's okay if you want to wear a dress today. Actually, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That happens in first grade. It's okay, Johnny wore a dress today. It's okay, Johnny wore a dress today. Don't make him feel bad. I'm telling you the truth. For the 9-year-olds, they're already talking about sex change. They're already talking about sexual orientation, self-exploration, same-sex relationships. There's a book. There's pictures. Tells them how to do lots of stuff. 9-year-olds, and it's in your school library. And the teachers are required to encourage the children to read them. You don't check them out because we don't want the mommies and daddies to know. If you're wondering where I got this information, check out Mass Resistance, Texas, right? Texas. Teacher, 2015. Let me tell you. Anybody know what a Title I school is? Title I schools are the lowest income schools in the nation. That's who we work with in Cedarwood. We provide backpack kits for the kids in the Title I schools. They're the poorest of the poor. That is who they're pushing the agenda to the most. Yep. That's where you're going to find the most abortion clinics. If we can get your kids confused enough that they don't want to be in a relationship, they won't procreate. Exactly. If they do, there's an abortion clinic across the street. It's depopulation. They're not just trying to get our kids to hell. They're trying to make sure they don't procreate. How many kids out there do you know that are going to high school, graduating, going to college, meeting their love of their life, getting married, starting a family? It's fewer and farther between, isn't it? I think I need to go get my bachelor's first. Let me get my master's. I really need to get my career going. The teacher that started Mass Resistance in Austin, Texas, she's got 3 daughters. They're in their 30s, and none of them are married. And they're not even interested. You think she's not on fire about this subject? She got it. She said, it's like a Jesus moment I had. I had a Jesus moment. They're trying to keep us from procreating. And she is on fire about this. So they do it in our schools. And now what? There's that rainbow outside that church. Come on in. We'll even marry you. Of course, you can't procreate, but you can take someone else's baby and raise them up. Do whatever. Let me tell you, you see a rainbow on your schools nearby. Do you know what that means? Gay Pride Week. They don't call it gay pride, and we're not even supposed to say gay anymore, right? Listen to me. Gay used to be happy, right? Remember that? Remember those beautiful days? Fred's always saying, I'm still looking for Mayberry. Where's Mayberry? Let me tell you how indoctrinated, how deep this goes. Anybody play with words with friends? Listen, come on. It's okay. It's okay. It's just us here. Well, I'm the only one then. Okay, so I play words with friends. Gay to me, I mean, I know the whole agenda out there, but it means happy, right? So I went to play gay. You'd said it's not an acceptable word. Seriously? In words with friends. It's on the phone. It's an app. It's Scrabble on your phone. Are you kidding me? If it's in my dictionary, I should be able to play it. It's a word. But not in words with friends. They're trying to put it in our heads, right? Right. I'm telling you, it goes deep. You see that rainbow outside of church. Unless you're going to pray, don't bother. Don't go in. You see that rainbow on a school. That means they celebrate a week. Tolerance. And it's celebrating the different lifestyles that we lead. Basically, the LGBTQT, I said T, agenda. And that's what they're feeding our children all week long. Do we have the one that talks about Jesus all week? Meanwhile, down the corner, what's the church doing? It says if we're going to get people in our pews, we better, you know, sort of accept this, right? You got to pay the bills. It's heartbreaking. We got the false unity movement. We got the LGBTQ agenda. It's, you know, it's exhausting sometimes. Where's truth? Where's truth? Where's truth? Where's the word? Didn't you say hide it in your heart? You know why? Because when you need to speak the truth, it better be in there or nothing coming out. Is breaking for the church. Do you know if the church would rise up and take her place, this agenda would have set sail. I'm telling you the truth. If the church would have said, you vote that in and we're voting you out. You don't think I pay your bills? I'm a taxpayer. I pay your bills. I don't care if you work on the city council or if you work over there in Congress. I pay your bills. Do not vote that in. When an abortion bill comes across your desk, you better tear it up. Unless it abolishes abortion in our nation, you better tear it up. Where is the voice of the church? Do you know how much power you have? Do you? We got more power than we realize. Let me tell you how much power we got. There was this guy that decided to run for office. He was some billionaire or something. He decided to run for office. And there was this lady. And, you know, her husband had been president. And this lady, although she had a lot of deep, dark secrets, she killed all the people that could prove it. So she decided to run for office, too. I believe her death toll is 151 and counting. You think I'm kidding? Say how? Way more than that. Way more than that. That doesn't count all the Haitian children she has killed. That doesn't count all of those children that don't have birth certificates that she did away with after her husband did his thing. I'm telling you. So she decides she's going to run for office. And man, you think that billionaire had money. She got the pocketbooks emptied of all kinds of really important people. In fact, she even was in the pocketbook of the man who runs the media, George Soros. And you know what? Man, it seemed like it was neck and neck. It was a nail biter. Man, the media, look at her stadiums. There's so many people there. What is this billionaire doing? There's nobody at his stadium. Why is he even bought? He should have just rented the coffee shop. Does he could have done this at Starbucks? I sent a video out to my staff. Just remind them what we're here for. And they had footage of that billionaire's rallies. Football stadiums. Standing room only. All the way to the ceiling. She had these little rinky-dink things happening. But, now don't anybody get offended, but she wanted the black vote. So she brought in Beyonce. Beyonce. And Jay-Z. To get her stadiums full. How offensive is that? How offensive is that? So then there was election day. Yes. Oh, yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z are part of the Illuminati, too. In case you didn't know. You know, it was just a big family thing for them. If you see the Clintons taking pictures with somebody, chances are they're Illuminati members, so you might as well just steer clear, because when the judgment falls. So when the vote came, does anybody know who won that? Trump! Because we prayed, right? We got out and we prayed. We voted. Because the church has more power than it realizes. Even he said that. And our president, less than a month ago, met with a handful, 100 or so pastors. And you know what he said? Get your people praying. Because I'm telling you, if we lose this election, your religious liberties are going to go. They're going to go. You're going to have that word hidden in your heart because you're not going to carry it on the street. You're going to take it to the workplace and get fired. I'm telling you the truth. Our president asked for people to pray. Should we not pray? God is trying to awaken the church. And I talked to Mom about this. I talked to Mom about this not too long ago. Part of the reason with the LGBT community is so rampant in the church, it's judgment. It's judgment. Compromise. There's sin in the church, and I think we know it. Because if there wasn't so much sin, and I'm not saying every church, so please don't go away and say, hey, you know, Ricky, Nita Johnson's daughter, she said there's sin in every church. Please don't go do that. Because I'm going to send Mom to talk to you, and you know, you don't want that. Because she's going to give you a what for. Just kidding. There's sin in the church. There's compromise. It's just one sin. Open the door to so much compromise. The LGBT community said, oh, look at there. They don't even have doors anymore. Come on, let's go. The Pope said, look at there. There's some open doors. Let's go. And he sent in the false unity movement. Listen. I know some people in the false unity movement. I'm telling you. My heart is breaking for them. We don't stand in judgment. It's deception. And as intercessors, we come and we pray for them. We pray that God will get a hold of them. That God will speak to them. The truth. Truth. Penetrate their hearts. That the light of God, the thing that got them into the ministry in the first place, be ignited within them and they'll return to their first love. That's what we pray for. We pray for truth. I'm going to tell you one more thing. Two more things. Because today the Lord said, the church is in the entertainment business. And he's calling her out. She's to get out of the entertainment business. And get on her knees, her face before him. If you don't believe me, not right now, and I hate to use this word, but Google, yeah, darkness there too, right? Circus Christmas program. Yeah, you've seen it. For their Christmas program, they put on Ringling Brothers Circus. And their choir director and all their people, their kids are trapezes all over the place. A circus. John, do you remember? Yeah, it was in Texas. It was Houston. It wasn't Olsteen's church. It was another church. Ringling Brothers Circus. I'm telling you the truth. I watched it. Second Baptist. Scantily clad. It was very sad. Because, whether you celebrate, here's the thing. There's two holidays that bring people into the church. It's Easter and Christmas. For them worldly people that don't know that, that is two times a year you can bring people, apart from a funeral, into a church and get the gospel message into them. And if you're swinging from a trapeze, it's really hard to hold your breath long enough and catch your breath long enough to spew out John 3:16, right? So I'm thinking it's not the way to go. But in case it's not one of them pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter, but you really just want to do this thing where you feel the Spirit of God through a Michael Jackson concert, you could do the video Thriller. I don't know if any, I'm sure you guys are all, really pure, and you've never seen a Michael Jackson video in your life. And so I'll just kind of lay it out for you just in case, because I know you're pure. And you're like, wait, Ricky, you have? Listen, he was in the 80s. I was a teenager, Just give me some grace. So he has this video, Thriller, and in Thriller, he's not a preacher. He's dancing, and zombies are coming to life behind him. So, they reenacted it in church. They didn't like change the lyrics, so it was more spiritual. It was in the church. The thrill. And he said, I felt the Spirit of God. So here I'm bringing it to you. I'm telling you, he probably felt the Spirit all right. It wasn't God. He felt the Spirit all right. So, listen. It was a T.D. Jakes godson. You guys are like, not T.D. Jakes? And some of you are like, oh, yeah. Do some research. You got to make sure the pastors you're watching are not part of the cabal. You got to make sure the ones that are filling your spirit are pure and filling it with the Spirit of God and not the spirit of the enemy. So, after all that, I think we should probably pray for the church. Because get up, not at 7, not at 6, but who jump out of bed at 4 a.m. and spend time with their Lord. You're like, 4? What? Okay, listen. Lord gets you up when the Lord gets you up, right? Whatever time that is, because he doesn't understand snooze. He understands, my spirit is moving. It's time to flow with me. Amen. Amen. So, I know that you guys need to get up and stretch your legs. our pastors pray. Because these men know the heart of the Lord for the congregation. Our pastors understand how hard it is to get a congregation who wants the pure word. They understand, and they weep before the Father over it every single day. They understand the pressures of a pastor. They understand. Been living in the refining for the better part of their lives. So it's important. Can we get someone up here to... I want you to know that the Lord's going to give an impartation this week. It's coming. And I want you to know that. There's an impartation coming to you. All the work we're going to do this week is preparing for this. I want you to know that. The Lord's going to do some healing in here. He's going to do some inner healing in here. It's coming. I'm telling you. It's harvest time, right? Feast of Tabernacles, what's it about? Harvest!